Greetings, my wonderful friends, and welcome to the AddedSouls.com podcast powered by the Spencer Church of Christ in Wisconsin. Stefan Maillet here, your audio and video servant for this episode, and we are looking at Whispering Wind. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21 will be our text. The topic is alcohol and Christianity. Is it milk and honey or cold water and hot grease? My approach, of course, in this broadcast is more along the lines of one's inner thoughts and heart, because usually that's the problem when dealing with this topic. Here's a disclosure. This session is not going to address the mild and moderate consumption of alcohol for medical reasons. The Bible allows one's judgment, conscience, and opinion on that very matter. Though in this age, there are many other alternatives one should consider, in my opinion. Simply saying, like, if the doctor recommends you consume one small drink of alcohol for your insert whatever ailment, then it's totally up to you what you wish to do with that. God is your judge. It's not me or any other man. Now, this podcast will, however, be dealing with the social consumption of alcohol in moderation, whether in the secrecy of your own home or collectively with friends for the purpose of softening your wits and, quote-unquote, fitting in with the world. An example for that, having a glass or two of alcohol at events such as Christmas, birthday parties, hangouts, dinners, you know, watching the game with the guys, that kind of stuff, for the strict reason of fleshly fulfillment. Just because you think there's nothing wrong with it, and besides, I mean, Jesus said it was okay, right? Well, let's look into that, shall we? First and foremost, if you are an honest student of the Bible, you need to understand that the word wine in the Bible is described by its context. Don't argue against that. That's a solid fact. Simply saying that the context in which the word is found will determine if it is speaking of an intoxicant or non-alcoholic beverage like juice. Okay? Second, you have to erase your current modern definition of wine and or being drunk. Why? Well, because we're reading a 2,000-year-old literature which had a completely different language, nuance, and environment than we do this day. You must put yourself in the shoes of the Christians reading the text handed to them in that day and age. Now, though mankind remains the same, some choose to do good and some choose to do bad, there's no new sinful practice under the sun. We can understand this information that is found in the Holy Writ, the Bible. Now know this. Pay close attention, okay? Never will you find a contradiction in the Bible regarding what alcoholic wine is and what non-alcoholic wine is. If you find contradiction, we assure you, the fault is on your shoulders. You need to work it out, read some more, study further, ask questions to trusted sources, like myself. Wink, wink. Okay, before diving into the text of this episode, we first quote a few inspired writers regarding the consumption of alcoholic beverages. We need to do that in order to put some groundwork in, some foundation here. First and foremost, we find ourselves in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, with some general truths here when it says, wine is a mocker, strong drink and or beer is a brawler, and whoever, it don't matter what skin color you have, it don't matter which kind of language you speak, it don't matter which geographical location you find yourself in, whoever is led astray, is deceived, manipulated, frauded by alcohol, is not wise. He's a fool. He's a foolish person. The person that allows alcohol consumption to capture his wits. And what about the Levitical law? It also gives us insight and principle as to this now spiritual Israel we citizens of the church currently inhabit during the Messianic Age, the age of Christianity, right? And King James says, "The Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute for every throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference," pay attention now, "between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses." Leviticus chapter 10, verses 8 through 11. Don't drink booze because it's unholy, it's unclean, and will hinder your ability to teach your children about the law of Christ, which extend to us His grace and mercy. Don't do this because the body is the temple, it's the tabernacle, this body of believers. And what about old Habakkuk there, who says, "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness." Woe to him who gives his neighbor a drink? Who even puts the bottle, the alcoholic bottle beverage to his lips, and makes him drink? Wow. And what of Ezekiel, who says, and I quote, "No priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court," Ezekiel 44, verse 21. And don't you know that Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, has made us to be a kingdom, his church, priests therein, to his God and Father. I find it quite interesting that the Holy Writ, the Scriptures, and the men of God through whom the agency used by the great I Am to reveal these inspired messages, these accounts, these recorded historical documents, saying that priests should not have anything to do with the consumption of alcohol. And yet today, in the Messianic Age, as Christians, we are seen as spiritual Israel. We are saints. We are a royal priesthood. We are priests. Do you think the information, the commands, the wisdom has changed? Peter, an inspired man, following the instructions of His Majesty, our Master Jesus Christ, told the Christians of the day that they were priests. And so are all who obey the gospel. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. 1 Peter 2, 9. Friends, is alcohol darkness or is it light? Should priests consume alcohol or not? I don't know, right? Let's keep going here. And so now, having this groundwork established, understanding kind of how the Bible perceived the practice of consuming alcoholic beverages in the Old Testament and how the New Testament is a more mature covenant in Christ, reflecting the principles and practices we must apply now in our fate, in our walk, we move forward in the text at hand, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. Again, the topic, alcohol and Christianity, milk and honey, or cold water and hot grease. Oh boys, isn't this exciting? Now, context here. Paul speaking to the Christians in Ephesus, exhorting them. He's encouraging them with command that must be obeyed in order to imitate Jesus Christ and not the world. And he will give us insight and accuracy as to how, rubber to the road, that this very thing is possible. And when we read the first verse in the scriptures, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." It's quite simple. Imitate God, who is good and righteous. If we imitate God, who is good and righteous, thus consuming alcoholic beverages at any level, at any stage of the game, seem wise to you in accordance to the imitation we should have with deity, what is good and righteous. You answer that. Verse 2, "And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." We imitate Christ, who is love and sacrifice. Can love and sacrifice be found in the righteousness of a faithful saint, a faithful priest, if he or she consumes alcoholic beverages? Verse 3, "But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints." And Christians who do good and righteous things, who love and sacrifice self, will not participate in any immoral activity, don't you agree? For such is not allowed in a faithful child of God. Such things come when we are softened, dulled of wits. It opens the door to all sorts of immorality. Verse 4. "And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." Ever been to a drinking party where people are just beginning to drink and they're taking the first drinks and they're consuming the alcohol? You see their faces, their countenance, their minds, their eyes, their speech begin to soften. Their wits have been lowered. The level, the bar of judgment has been diminished, and their actions, their speech, they begin to jest. They begin to speak in a coarse way. They begin to do things that are very worldly. Is that the way a Christian should act? Should Christians allow this sort of infiltration, hostile, barbaric, worldly, into our thoughts, into our minds? You need to be wise with this information, Christians. You need to be wise. Verse 5. "For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." You see, Christians who aren't faithful will participate in sinful endeavors, resulting in an eternal punishment away from the God, the Father, the Son, and His wonderful power, His wonderful love and grace. Verse 6, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." A faithful Christian, friends, will not allow the intoxicating lure of deception capture his or her mind into the disobedience of the sons of this age. Listen, the Bible is clear. Bad company corrupts good morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33. "Be not deceived by the world and its sinful practices, its bait, its tactics and temptations, using intoxicants to soften your mind to the perception and discernment of right and wrong." 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 10 describes those activities in which deception can lure you into. Verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Faithful Christians walking in the light will not fellowship. They won't socialize. They will not participate, defend, and walk according to the ways of this dying world. Let me ask you a question. Does the world love, embrace, promote, and practice the consumption of alcoholic beverages? Don't you know that what the world loves, we Christians are not to love? You got to understand these things, friends. Got to understand these things. Verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For what was once dying, your eternal soul is now made alive in Christ. Free from sin, you no longer walk in wickedness, but you now walk in righteousness, or are supposed to walk in righteousness. Where is your mind at? Where is your focus? What are you thinking about? Verse 9 now. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Truth. What is good is from God, and so do what is good. Is there truth found in alcoholic beverage, the intoxicating poison that softens the minds of mankind? Do men usually typically do very wise and industrious and law-abiding things when they are under the influence of alcoholic beverages? That's a good question, isn't it? Need to ask these questions. As Christians, we need to abide by the teachings, the doctrine of Jesus Christ and his apostles, inspired into all truth therein. It's important for us. We need to stand arm in arm here together. Make it to heaven, right? Verse 10. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. A faithful Christian seeks to learn what the Bible says instead of what the world does. Does the consumption at any level of alcoholic beverage encourage you to sit down and learn about God? Are you going to whip out a Bible while you're with your friends having a beer or a glass of wine? If so, which I highly doubt it, would it be profitable in any spiritual worth or depth? These are questions you need to ask yourself, friend. They're very important. Verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Don't do what the world does. Rather, point out what the world does and exhort them, encourage them into repenting, that they may turn from evil and foolish things, so as to return to God, who is good, faithful, wise, and righteous. Verse 12, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret, the world, the wicked, their ways. The world is filled with sinful practice and behavior. Take a look around. How do you think we've gotten there? Do you think alcoholic beverages at any level of consummation is helping us or destroying us? Don't be an idiot. Be honest with yourself. Don't try to justify something you can't stand on, you know. Just deal with the reasoning here. It wants to lurk in the dark as children of the night, where drinking parties, sensuality and lasciviousness, fornication, immodesty, adultery, and dances are taking place. This sinful world, this dying world and its practices, its ways. Christians are not to imitate that. We are to have our minds renewed. We are to rather imitate God, who is good. Amen, somebody. Verse 13. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. God is a God of light. He illuminates, he shines. And when his light shines in us, of its own nature, what is dark will be exposed. Does the moderate social consuming of alcoholic beverages shine? Does it illuminate? Is it prosperous, spiritually speaking? Does it benefit us in any way, shape, or form? Verse 14. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And so we were made to awake, arise, and shine. Rise and shine, rise and shine. This very moment happens to all repentant believers confessing Christ, being immersed in water with his authority in order to be washed of sins by the power of the blood and resurrection of our Lord and Master, King and Ruler, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so we are born again, right? Not to walk according to the old ways, the sinful ways and practices and darkness. No, we are now to walk in a new way. Is this new way now to cling to old practices and ways regarding alcohol? Verse 15 and 16, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Friends, Christians, pay attention to the things you think, say, do, listen, watch, and assume. Because those who don't waste their days in useless and unproductive activities which allow their minds to become foolish. Verse 17, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Question, do you think you will understand what the will of the Lord is with or without the help of alcohol? At any level. Be wise, my friends. Be wise. Verses 18 through 21. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We are not to be fools. We are to be smart, wise, productive, ready, prepared, sober. Don't drink alcohol. Because in alcohol, when consumed in any amount for any other reason than medical use, will cause you to lose influence, imitation of God, morality, wisdom, righteousness, melody, thanks, and subjection to one another. It will keep you in the filth and deception of the world. You cannot be filled with the Spirit, complete in Christ, if you consume alcoholic beverages for worldly pursuits and pleasures at any level. No, Christ did not turn water into alcohol. You've been lied to. No, Paul never told Timothy to drink alcohol for worldly reasons. You've been lied to. No, deacons are not to drink wine to be softened. You've been lied to. No, Old Testament characters were not told to drink alcohol for worldly pleasures. You've been lied to. No, gluttony is not an excuse for drinking alcohol. Two sins don't make a saint. No, the word drunk is not judged by man's standards. It is not a word describing the amount in which a person has consumed, but rather the moment and worldly heart behind it in which he begins to consume, be softened. In other words, the language, the grammar, and the context of the word therein describes one who begins to be softened. Don't be a fool. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. 1 Peter 4, verse 3. Do you think alcohol at any level is used by the devil or used by God? Friends, whispering wine. It comes deceivingly into your ears as a cool breeze. Paul warned us not to be deceived, because deception is what will have you misinterpreting the Bible in order to remain practicing sinful activities, like, you know, having a few glasses of wine with the girls. Nothing wrong with that. Having a few glasses of this, that, and the other. Having a beer with the boys. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not, like, really, really drunk or anything. Friends, it will have you speaking the language of disobedience and doctrinal compromise. It will have you justifying your consumption of alcohol. It masquerades as an angel of light guiding you to an eternal punishment. Everything bad in this chapter is related in some way to alcohol consumption at any worldly level, and let me tell you, nowheres in the Bible will Paul be contradicted. Paul and Jesus don't contradict each other. If you think so, the problem's on your shoulders. You need to study a bit further. Friends, if we are busy doing what the text says, the Bible says, we won't be busy socializing with the world and or its practices. When we don't drink alcohol, we can worship God properly. I think Nadab and Abihu would attest to that fact, don't you? Now, you may not agree with the Bible, and in turn point the finger at me. It's easier to point the finger at me than at God, right? Now, you have the free will to do so on this earth, to disagree with the scriptures. Yet I assure you, these words you've heard in this session will be haunting you if you will remain unrepentant on the day of judgment. Alcohol and Christianity, milk and honey, or cold water and hot grease, friends. Cold water and hot grease, it just don't mix. Stay positive, stay focused. Stefan Maia here, your audio and video servant for this broadcast. We are the addedsouls.com podcast, powered by the Spencer Church of Christ in Wisconsin. Friends, we shall meet again here next time, Lord willing. God bless.